Okay, it's open lines time. That's what you've been waiting for as well, with an intuitive hotline. Those of you who have had these incredible intuitive thoughts, share them with us. How did it save you? How did it help you? Did it get a better job? What did it do for you? Your intuition, share it. 818-817-0021. Okay, great to be with you. Open line time, and let us go right to the phones. Wildcard line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Good morning. Hello. Going once.
Hello.
Oh, you just made it. I was just ready to hit the old hang-up button.
George, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was me.
That's okay.
I have a levitation story to tell you.
All right, yeah, what happened?
Well, when I was 10 years old, I went to a girlfriend's slumber party, my best friend, and we were messing around with levitation and seances and that sort of thing. And this is a game where one girl lays down, and there were five of us all together, including the girl who laid down. So there were two girls on one side and one girl on another. And then one girl sitting at her head, rubbing her temples and chanting, "You're light as a feather and stiff as a board." And you say that a few times, and then you try to lift them up with your two fingers that are placed underneath her.
The other four do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
You just put two fingers underneath and lift them up. And we lifted her up without any effort at all. I mean, our fingers didn't bend or anything. I mean, it was like she was floating. And she realized, you know, she kind of got scared and then just kind of came down. But we lifted her above our heads, and it was just the freakiest thing. Of course, we ran right to our sleeping bag.
Oh, good. You dropped her.
But I love your show.
All right.
I love your show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, you guys ran to your sleeping bags. You forgot about her. And plop, she hit the bottom. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Ray. I'm heading towards Spokane, Washington tonight. How you doing?
Great, thanks. Excellent
shows, by the way. My little question was, why is it that the new guy on the landing parties on Star Trek always got killed off?
Nobody wanted him back, so they figured they're expendable.
Oh, okay. And I always had a question, but I don't know if I can mention product names on the radio or not. It has to do with cell phones.
No, not really, but that's okay. What's the story, though? What happened?
Well, actually, no. It's just I'm kind of curious there. One of the best phones that I have found, I'm at the technologically disadvantaged, was the product name was real close to Star Trek. It was a basic, simple cell phone. And they never brought it over into the digital age.
It's just stayed analog, huh?
It stayed analog. It was the best phone. It was simple. You made a phone call. There was no cameras. There was no internet or anything that you could put on the darn thing. You just made a phone call, and it worked. And when it went, everything went digital, they got rid of it.
And it was gone.
And, well, they stopped making it because they weren't converting it over to digital.
I love it. Okay, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. First time caller line, west of the Rockies. I was just on first time.
Hey, George. This is Skip from Corona, California.
Hey, Skip. How are you?
All right. First time caller, long time listener.
Good. Thanks.
I got an interesting little story for you.
Okay.
I was brought into a ETS, which is a psychiatric facility, one evening for observation.
What happened?
My ex-girlfriend thought I was losing it, and to make her happy, I went in for observation for 24 hours voluntarily.
Okay. Right.
And, you know, I didn't want to be there. I had the sheet pulled over my head. I'm tattooed from head to toe. I'm sitting there, and my arms are hanging out from underneath the sheet, and, you know, it's probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hear these two gentlemen talking, and they're obviously psychiatric technicians. You know, they work there.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, look at this one behind us. He sure got a lot of tattoos." There you go. And the other one, just the other one, he says, but he doesn't have ours yet. And I pulled the blanket over the top of my head, and I look, and they both have barcodes tattooed on the back of their necks.
Barcodes? You're kidding me.
I swear. All my life.
They're into the new age already.
Yeah, I guess so. That was it, man. These guys were just straight older gentlemen, and that's all they had, is little barcode.
And they never elaborated on why they got it or anything like that?
No, that just freaked me out. It freaked me out. I just pulled the blanket back over my head.
That is weird. Well, you sound much better, too.
Oh, thank you. There was never a problem.
Okay.
Thanks.
Whatever happened to you and the girlfriend?
I kicked her to the curb.
Okay. I would, too, if she sent you into a home like that. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How dare you?
Oh, not you again. How did you get
How dare you?
Now what?
Star Trek, you know what I'm talking about. Star Trek.
What's wrong with Star Trek?
It's pornographic.
Star Trek is pornographic?
Yes. It's filthy. It's terrible. It's a shill for the New World Order and New World Orderisms. And I'm telling you right now that this 40 years since Star Trek has been on the television, look at where our country has gone, into the toilet.
Well, I don't think you could blame Star Trek for that, J.C.
Oh, yes, you can. It
Maybe something else.
Part of that brainwashing mentality.
Oh, Star Trek is a fun show.
I bet
you're sitting there now in a Star Trek outfit with little tights.
How dare you?
Excuse me?
How dare you? You would dare to insinuate that I would be dressed up like you were talking about. Your listeners are all dressing up tonight in Star Trek uniforms.
Yeah, Trekkie
bunch
things.
Of perverts.
Well, I bet you're there with little curled up slippers and enjoying the show.
How you dare to mock me?
I'm not
mocking God's 10-star general.
I'm not mocking you.
You are. Listen to your tone, Mr. Norrie. Now listen, Star Trek, it was subversiveness from the Soviet Union because William Shatner is a Canadian operative. And I'm telling you, they brought on the idea of having that weak-minded moron, Chekhov, the Russian, who was, he was an idiot, but they were still trying to bring in and make you sympathetic to the Russians' cause, that we can all live together and work together when we should, talking about uniting us in the world, when we need to be dividing up on our fighting lines and ready to fight like real Americans.
Well, you know, you and I may agree on the battle, but Chekhov was not an idiot. He had a high IQ.
He's a moron.
JC, are you ever happy about anything?
I'm always happy. I'm happy when God lays out before me the plans for punishment of this planet.
Your girlfriend Edna left with a guy on a motorcycle?
You?
Well, she
did.
She
was not my girlfriend.
Who was she?
Servant.
She was a servant?
That's right. That's the proper word for it. She served me.
How many people did you have serving you, JC?
That is classified information for me and the Lord to know only, and it's on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know.
You're running some kind of commune or something?
I have a compound together of some like-minded individuals, which I would like to have the I Agree with J.C. line opened up one of these days.
I would do that with you.
Sympathizers will call and profess their love for me.
Would you take phone calls and things like that?
Of course I would.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold, and we can work out something.
Wait.
I'm not holding up yet. Don't worry. You're still with us.
I was saying that we need to divide up on our fighting lines. And I think the best way to start is to let the world know we're serious about when you wrong America, you wrong us for good. We need to drop atomic bombs. We need to use our atomic bombs. We need to hit the Japs again in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Let them know we're serious.
Oh, JC.
Just to remind them, that's what you get for attacking on a Sunday morning.
JC.
When we're trying to sleep. And around Christmas time, you know how many Christmases they ruined with
that? JC, that was 60-some years ago. They paid their price.
Right. And it would show the world we're serious when you come to fighting with us. We're never going to let you forget. And we're serious about defeating our enemies. We need to use our A-bombs.
JC, I'm going to put you on hold now, and you can give Tom your phone number. My, oh, my, what a way to get rolling here. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Okay, I'm going to make this real brief, and then I'm just going to shut up and listen to it on the air.
Okay.
All right. Nobody's brought this up yet, but great props to the late, great Bird of the Galaxy.
Who's that?
Gene Roddenberry. You never heard him called that?
The Bird of the Galaxy?
Great Bird of the Galaxy.
No, I never heard that slogan for him. But you know what? You're absolutely right.
It's
this is
like
his night.
Three or four books that I've read. But here was the main reason I called. Well, first off, I'm a first-time caller, but I'm on a payphone, so I had to call on the Western Rockies line.
So your dime is ticking away here, or a quarter,
yes,
or whatever.
And
right?
I don't know when this thing's going to
cost
off
anymore.
So here's the thing. I told the screener, there's a sound clip I ran across from the original series, and here's how it goes. Mr. Chekhov, I think we're in a lot of trouble. That's a great help, Mr. Chekhov. Bones, well, I think Mr. Chekhov's right. We are in a lot of trouble. Spock, and if you say we're in a lot of trouble, we are. And I know countless diehard Trekkies like me. My mom raised me on the original series, and I have not been able to trace down the episode.
Well, maybe someone will fast blast me, and if they do, I'll put it on for you.
Please, God, let them, because I've been all over the internet. I've been in countless chat rooms. I don't know. God knows how many.
Okay.
So, thank you, George. Love the show. You're a great American.
All right. You take care of yourself. You know, it's interesting. We talked about he's at a payphone. So many people having cell phones now. I wonder what kind of revenue these payphones generate anymore. Because I got to tell you, I have not seen somebody in a payphone since my Superman movie days, to tell you the truth. It's been that long. Let's move on to East of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Steve from Mumford, New York.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Hello. I would like to draw a parallel between a Star Trek The Next Generation episode and our shadow people.
How so?
There is a fourth season Next Generation episode in which the Enterprise has to revisit a planet that Geordi had visited prior to joining the Enterprise, in which crew members from that ship disappeared. They didn't disappear. They started de-evolving. They got infected by something. They de-evolved into like this reptilian creature. Die-hard Trekkies will remember them with the blue glowing veins as they were slowly devolving. Their ultimate state was invisible to the human eye. And the only way they could determine that they were there is Geordi recreated the landing site in the holodeck and noticed a shadow not being cast by any physical object. So he has the computer make up a composite of what type of entity could have created that shadow, and it's this black, formless creature. And slowly but surely, he gets infected from being down on the planet, starts de-evolving, but they have him confined to sickbay. But it's just amazing that where we talk about the reptilians and shadow people, that the writers for this episode incorporated both.
Oh, they did their homework. I'm wondering, too, do you think Gene Roddenberry was a time traveler? I mean, this guy was way ahead of his time.
Light years ahead.
Yep.
I don't think he was a time traveler. Roddenberry was an intuitive. He knew things before they were going to happen.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, let me go to the intuitive hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, it's Gary.
Gary, how did your intuition help you out?
I've never been big, okay? But every once in a while, I will have a gut. I just call it my gut feeling.
Yeah.
To my kids, and it will be something I don't necessarily want to do. Or I just don't want to do it now, or whatever. But I'll just feel compelled to do it, and every time I do, it always turns out right.
you follow that gut.
Sometimes it's big decisions, and sometimes it's just nothing more than turning right instead of turning left.
When it happens, though, do you know something's kicking in? Can you feel it?
I guess so. It's more like
it's natural for you.
Well, it's not really. I don't know if it's natural. Because I'll tell you something. You know, everybody talks about 2012.
Yeah.
It's the closer I get to that, or the older I'm getting. I'm 52 now.
Where we're going along that path together,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah. The more I've been feeling this in the last few years, the stronger it gets. And the more often it happens, and more often it is successful, and it's just amazing. Because, like, just for example, the other day I got into an argument with my oldest son about something.
Okay.
And he kind of wanted to do it his way, and I didn't think it was necessary to do it that way, but I went ahead and did something to make it happen, to do it his way. So I did that, and it worked out okay.
It did. You know?
I mean, I had to kind of eat my own
crow, as we say.
Yeah, but it worked out great, you know.
Well, you know, sometimes with kids, you got to let them, as long as they're not going to get hurt, let them do what they're going to do. Let them make a mistake. Let them fail. And, you know, just be there to support them. You know, again, as long as you know whatever they're doing is not going to really hurt them physically, maybe even financially. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi. Hello?
Hey.
Hi. I have an intuition kind of thing that happened to me last year.
Yeah, what was it?
I had gone down to my parents were staying down. I'm actually in Colorado, and they were staying down at Chatfield Reservoir, and I had my mom, my brother had a friend staying with him, and basically I had told her that I said something bad is going to happen. I just have this impending doom that something is really bad is going
to
happen.
But you didn't know to whom, right?
I didn't know who it was. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen or whatever. I just said something bad is going to happen. She said, do you know when? I said, within the next week. Well, the next day, I get a phone call from my brother, and his friend had committed suicide in my parents' garage.
Oh.
And my mom told my brother, well, Aaron warned me the night before that there was something going on, and it was like an impending doom. And almost about once or twice a month, I have that feeling that something bad's going to happen or something's, like, out there.
How about for good things? Does it happen for that?
No, it's usually just something bad.
Just a tragedy.
Like, yeah, and like the 9/11 thing.
Yeah.
After, you know, I actually felt like something bad was going to happen. And I actually had a dream about my cousin. She was supposed to go to Boston, I guess, that weekend. And I had a dream that she was driving to the airport and got into a really bad car accident. And then I saw a plane crash onto the highway. And then the next day, my mom called me and told me, you know, turn on your TV.
That's amazing. All right. So, my dear, are you seeing anything else these days?
I'm sorry?
Are you seeing anything else, your intuition? What do you feel?
I just have these bad feelings. Like, I get, have you ever been, like you're conscious, you just have this really bad, horrible, deep down in your stomach feeling?
But, I mean, you know nothing specific, you just have this feeling?
Yeah, I just have this really bad feeling, and I don't know when it's going to happen or if it, you know, who it's going to happen to, what day.
And does it have to be close by to you generally, or could it be on some far corner of this planet?
It could be on any far corner of this planet, but a lot of the times if it's close by, it's really, really strong.
All right. Well, let's see how your intuition kicks in. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's simple. I make it simple for you. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. That's it. Well, the caller called us from the payphone who was dying to find out the name of that Star Trek episode. A couple people have sent me the name of Mudd, M-U-D-D. I don't know. I don't remember all the names of the episodes, but maybe that was it. If anybody wants to follow up on that, because he's dying to find out what it is. After Dark newsletter, by the way, if you haven't picked it up yet, what are you waiting for? 14 issues for the price of 12. Comes in full color. Call 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. By the way, I'm going to be in the San Francisco area tomorrow for the Bay Area UFO Expo. If you're interested in coming out, their website is thebayareaufoexpo.com, or there is a phone number, 209-836-4281, if you're in that area, or if it's not too late for you to make travel plans, come on out. The Intuition Hotline number is 818-817-0021. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, George. Good morning. This is Steve calling from Los Angeles.
Hey, Steve.
I could say Hollywood. I'm in walking distance to Paramount, where I was on 10 of the original Star Trek series.
Were you really?
Honest to God, I can't believe it. You know, looking back over the thing now, I tried to get through when Richard was on, but I learned some things while he was there. One interesting fact is, whenever Uhura was not in the show, I sat in her chair there in the bridge.
I've got to go get some of those old DVDs and see and look at you. What do you look like?
Well, I was in very good shape, you know, dark hair. I was a security officer. I always wore red. I tell you one show you have no trouble picking up in, and that is Trouble with Tribbles, you know, one of the most famous episodes.
Right.
And at the end of that episode, I bring in Harvey Mudd. I just heard you mention Mudd. I don't know if it's that
yeah.
show, but Harvey Mudd was played by Stanley Adams, and two security officers bring him in to this hearing. And during the hearing, somehow Bones goes up to this guy, and you know, everything's all wrong. He says, James, this man is a Klingon. And at that point, Kirk takes two Tribbles from me and goes up to this guy, and you know, they reacted real heavily. But, you know, that was my part in that show. Another interesting show that I was in, a very famous one, was Obsession, where I materialize on a planet, and I'm directed off by myself to find this invisible cloud, which ends up killing me and taking all my red corpuscles.
Now, once they killed you off, but you came back again, I guess.
Well, yes. Yeah, magic of television,
right.
You know. But, you know, now I see the connection between the Richard and Enterprise Mission.com. I never put that together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he and the Enterprise and Star Trek, it's all grouped together.
Man.
Any weird stories when you were on the set that you could relate to us?
Well, yeah, I have some weird ones. I don't know if it's appropriate on the radio, but did I say it? I don't know. You know, James, William Shatner got carried away once in the medical room with a lady officer. I forgot her name.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, kind of grabbed her. He was behind and kind of grabbed her from the front and rocked her all around the set, if you can get the drift of that one.
You're kidding me now.
No, they had a lot of fun on that show. I mean, you know, I was just glued to those guys. You know, William Shatner is quite an actor, and you know, every scene I wasn't in, I was right there watching the scenes they were in.
I was going to say, no wonder he talks to Scotty about beaming him in the thing.
I'll tell you, I wish I'd have kept the scripts and the call sheets, and I could have kept the uniform.
Beam me up, Scotty.
If only we knew, you know.
Yeah, well, it was a class. So, are you still doing some acting now, or is?
No, I left in '91. The last thing I did was a Budweiser commercial.
Well, hey, get back in it, you know.
Yeah, I've had some interesting parts. So I doubled the Fonz. I rode the Harley for him on the first season of Happy Days.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a lot of credits, but anyhow,
good for you.
I hope that someday I can talk to Richard. If they want to put me on hold, I can give them my phone number.
Sure, we'll do that for you.
And, you know, I tried to get in earlier, but isn't that something, part of that magic time?
You got that right. Okay, you're on hold, Tom. Get his phone number. Put him and Richard together at the right time. That would be fun for him. Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, this is Judith.
Hi, Judith.
Kailua.
Where is that exactly?
Kailua, Hawaii.
Oh.
I was just curious what you had one of the cast members on earlier, and he seemed to want to comment on the other cast members, and yet he didn't want to comment on Shatner. So I was just curious about that.
Well, I don't know. He didn't want to talk about him, and I asked him a couple times.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know more about that.
Yeah, I would too. I didn't want to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
For fear that he'd get up and leave me.
Well, I was hoping I could get in when he was there, but...
What's going on up there in Hawaii these days?
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Like, we had full moon the last couple of nights. It's just gorgeous.
Your area is pretty private, isn't it?
It's pretty private. It's pretty exclusive, but it's nice.
Were you born out there?
No, my husband grew up here, but it's a nice place to live.
It's expensive, though, isn't it?
Pretty, Yeah, pretty much. Milk is expensive and everything else.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norrie. This is Nathan from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hi, Nathan.
Hey, earlier in the show, I had tuned in a little bit late, and you were talking with a guest, I think, about the sun signs. And he had mentioned a couple of dates to you, one of which was October 7th. And I didn't exactly hear what that was supposed to be about, but just so happens that October 7th is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. He was talking about it as being a warring time period because of Mars. So he is predicting that there could be more conflict. Of course, does it ever go away?
Probably not. I'm actually a veteran of the United States Army as well.
Yeah, me too. What branch were you in?
101st Airborne Division, Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
All right. Well, thanks for serving.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
One day we'll open up a hotline just for soldiers. That would be a great hotline. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. My name is Jason calling from Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
I can't. I'm not sure how safe it is to call after a red-shirted officer, but hopefully I'll be okay. I wanted to tell you a crazy ghost story. A friend of mine has had an experience with. He actually, speaking of a person from Iraq, he kept a doctor's exam table in his house while the doctor was away, and then the doctor eventually just gave it to him. Ever since he's had that in his house and strange things have been happening, first off, the daughter in the house was stealing things, like taking food items like candy and that sort of thing. And they were chastising her, telling her to stop it. And she kept saying, well, this is because it's Jimmy doing it, not me. And they said, well, who's Jimmy? And she said it was the ghost boy who lives in the house. And, of course, like any other parents, they didn't believe this. And they were about ready to, very much discipline the child when one day an entire loaf of bread that they had been using to make grilled cheese sandwiches just disappeared.
Well,
and no one could find it.
The little kid loved grilled cheese sandwiches, huh?
Well, we believe the ghost kid did. Now, if you want to see this crazy thing, like, he's trying to get rid of it because, honestly, right now, the experiences he's having, the floors, there's constant knocking on the floor. He stores this thing in the basement. And it's crazy. The noises come from there. There's no explanation for it. And he's listed it on eBay. If you go and search for haunted exam table, you can see this thing. It's crazy. I don't know. I doubt he'll get rid of it. I don't think anybody's going to want to buy a haunted exam table. But it's kind of crazy. All I can say is the little girl, they finally believe her now.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Another eBay pitch. Those things go for a pretty good sum sometimes. Wildcard line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, where are you calling from?
It's Shannon from Windsor, Ontario.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I talked to you once before about a year ago about babies that were mysteriously dying in Windsor here.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's still happening, but that's not the reason why I'm calling. What I'm calling for is I was just wondering, what's your take on the president of Iran? Could he possibly be the Maitreya? He seems to have a lot of the characteristics that they say the Maitreya will have, and if anybody has looked at his eyes, you can't even see the whites of his eyes hardly. They look like little black beads.
I've never seen anybody
that gives me the creeps like he does.
Well, he is creepy. I think he's a wannabe. I don't think he is the Antichrist at all, or the slash the Maitreya. But he is a weird guy.
Yeah, he's certainly scary looking.
Yep. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, East of the Rockies. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Thanks for talking about Star Trek tonight. I have some interesting trivia for you.
Yeah.
Our good friend Mr. Roddenberry was once asked during a question and answer session what of his favorite films might have, science fiction films, contributed to his vision of Star Trek. And he mentioned the Russian author Stanislaw Lem, who had written Solaris, but he also wrote a story called The Magellan Crowd that was turned into a Czechoslovakian science fiction film in the early 60s. It was called Ikari XB1. It was shot in color, but in America we know it as Voyage to the End of the Universe, and it was only in black and white. And the starship Ikari XB1 had a bridge that looked identical to the Starship Enterprise, and the costuming was the same too. Also, Stanley Kubrick mentioned this film as one of having inspiring elements that led to his development of different scenes in 2001. I thought I'd share that with you.
Sure, he must have picked some ideas from that. You think, huh?
Sure did. And you can actually find that DVD of that American version in black and white somewhere on the internet. So if you ever want to check it out, by all means.
Okay, thanks. I like some of these old movies and things. And lately, I'm into this old song kick. And, man, my engineers look at me and they roll their eyes. But I am, because ever since I saw that movie, The Green Mile, on DVD, I've been picking up old Fred Astaire. Yeah, I have. Come on. Old Fred Astaire songs, listening to some of them. And some of them are classics. They are. You want me to get one? I can't. It's in my car. But I will next week. I will. First time caller line, you're on the air. Now, this is, you do not have a speaking
George,
part, Steve,
Tim.
On the show. Yeah, hi.
Hey, I was calling my daughter. She's 2.5 years old, and we were sitting down to dinner last night, and she kept getting up and going to the back doors. Sounded like she was saying black eye, like couldn't bear what she was saying, and she was actually saying black guy. And there was a family friend of ours that died about 6 months ago, and we all called him Uncle Ted. And we let her go outside, and she was playing around and kind of running and playing tag with an imaginary friend, we thought. And then she started calling that person Uncle Ted. And it was somebody she's never really ever met.
That's strange.
Well, it gets stranger. She then says, look, he's going up in the tree, up into the sky, and was waving bye to him.
Oh.
And it's something she's never really met him. She's met him before, but she was about a year and a half
right.
old, so, I mean, it wasn't.
And she wouldn't have known his
reason.
Name. No, not at all. Once he went up into the sky, was that it? Did the contact apparently stop?
That was it. She was done with it and back to playing. And something like this has happened before, just about 3 weeks ago. We live in Bakersfield, California, the home of Buck Owens. And we went out to the cemetery where he's buried, took some family out there to kind of see his grave. And while she was out there, she's just, you know, kind of dancing around as little kids do. And we asked her what she's doing, and she said, well, I'm dancing with Buck Owens. 2 years old should not know anything about
Buck Owens. No, this girl's connected.
Ever since she's been born, there's been different instances of her, you know, waving at somebody in the sky, good night. You know, little kids just talk and have imaginary friends.
And I hope you don't discourage her, right?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, let her do what she does.
Active imagination's great, but as of tonight, when we kind of saw her talking to somebody that we all knew and, you know, was really close to, it then became a little bit more than an imagination, it seemed. You know, this is something, there's something really going on there, and children, it's always said that they're innocent and they can see things we can't.
Yep, and then they grow out of it, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's too bad because these are great people that, you know, if she's actually able to see these people, I mean, it makes us feel good to know they're still around.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Next up, Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Scott. I'm in Indiana.
Hi, Scott. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Actually, I was able to call in before when Jolene Blaylock.
Oh, yeah. That was another Star Trek hour we had.
Yep, sure was.
Jesus, she's a doll.
I was going to tell you an intuition story I had.
Okay.
I'm a police officer in Indiana, and I stopped a car in a high crime area. And normally when you stop a car, you walk up on the approach the driver and like that. Well, this time I decided something wasn't right about it, and there were three people in the car, and the way they were sitting, it just didn't feel right. So I went around the back of my car, my squad car, and I went up on the passenger side, and I get to the rear passenger window, and I look in, and the guy sitting behind the driver's got a sawed-off shotgun between his legs.
Oh.
He's looking in the rearview mirror looking for me to come up. So I see him, and I back up and call for the troops and draw down on everybody, and we get everybody out, and all's right in the world. But ever since then, I don't walk up to a car on the driver's side. I come up on the passenger side, and it's just it's more tactically safe. But that kind of taught me a lesson.
And you guys are supposed to also, when you come up on a car, you kind of park at an angle a little bit, don't you? So you can use the car or the door, your door, as a shield.
Well, you use the door, you use the engine block, and I work night shift, obviously, so I use every light I have, I turn on and just flood the car with it. So that way they have no idea where you're coming from. And so it kind of freaks people out when you're standing there at their passenger window and you're watching them, because most people are right-handed, and you're watching their hands and seeing what they're doing. And then after you, you know, give them enough time, then you rap on the window and they're, you know, you get that deer in the headlight look because they never see you're there.
So. Give us some advice if somebody gets stopped. What's the best thing to do? What's the thing that makes you guys comfortable? Because that's the name of the game here.
Best thing to do when you're stopped by a police officer is just keep your hands on the steering wheel. Don't do anything until they ask you. You know, they're normally going to ask you for your driver's license, your registration, or insurance. Some officers ask if they have handgun permits, because if I see a gun in the car and someone's got a permit, okay, I'm going to feel a little comfortable.
Right.
But if they don't, then it's a whole new ball game. So,
and he should, if he's got a permit, he should tell you right away, officer, exactly. I've got a handgun permit and I have a gun over here. And, or, exactly. You know, yeah, exactly.
Can I make one little quick comment? The call you had in earlier, that when he was talking about the episode he was in with the Tribbles.
Yeah.
Actually, Stanley Adams played Cyrano Jones. I know I'm a geek, but that's the way it is. And it was Harry Mudd, which was played by Roger C. Carmel, which was in another episode. I mean, I'm sitting here in my squad car. I've got James T. Kirk on my dashboard, and I've got a little Enterprise on my video camera. You know, I was 6 years old when the series premiered, and I never quite got over it.
So you're telling me if you stopped a car for speeding and the guy was wearing a Star Trek outfit, you'd probably let him go?
Unless he was in a red shirt, and then I'd have to kill him.
You take care of yourself.
You do.
I love it. The hour is gone. This night is gone. We're going to come back. We're still going to have more open lines for you with the Intuition Hotline, of course. I'll give you that number at the top of the hour. Then at the last half of the program, it's going to be our special tribute, of course, to crocodile hunter Stephen Irwin. He has not been buried yet. That's coming up. To the best of my knowledge, a funeral is very soon, but that has not occurred in Australia yet. As a matter of fact, two of his dear friends paid an emotional tribute to him today, Dr. Jamie Seymour and Philip Cousteau, the grandson of the celebrated environmentalist Jacques Cousteau. And they said that Steve was a generous, caring, and honest man whose energy and passion for the environment amazed and inspired them. And when you hear our past interview with Steve Irwin, you will agree with what they've said. Now, we'll be back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM.